Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPW number 93. That's Ba'is Pnimi, Share for Women, Share number 93. In truth, in order to really make this share the most effective and to get to the true emes of it, it's important to review Mrs. Davis's share on communication about physical intimacy. She brings briefly there some of the points about disclaimers that I need to make now regarding this share. Because we talked about the husband's need for unconditional love. In this share, we're going to talk about his need for actual sex, for the actual physical relationship. And there needs to be certain very strong qualifications when we discuss it. And one of them is what Mrs. Davis mentioned in her share. And that is the notion, which is false, that some girls or kalas may have, that she is doing it for him and she needs to do whatever he wants and whenever he wants at any given time. That is false. That has to be erased from her head. That's not what it's about. The idea that it's there so that he shouldn't stray and do crazy things or act out, and she's only there to, as a preventative measure, to give him that so that he shouldn't stray. Also, you throw that out the window. That is not Torah Hashkafa. Yes, it is true. The Chazal do say that a loyal, faithful wife does save their husbands from sin, and it applies to this type of sin. It also is true that when a marriage is very satisfying physically, there's less of a chance for these things to take place on both ends. But that is certainly not why there is physical intimacy, and that is not a reason why sex should be had just for that purpose, to, you know, stay away from other things and that's not the purpose. The purpose is the connection. So one needs to understand this as we're giving this share. Another disclaimer, very strongly, is that emotional intimacy always has to precede it. We're talking about a situation where a husband truly cares about you. He could have flaws, but he's a good person, a decent person that may have some flaws. But he watches his eyes and he's faithful and he loves you and he wants to be with you. That is the person we are talking about. And in those situations, when we're talking about that, here is where we're going to say, to understand the different natures between men and women in general. Again, it's stereotypical. Sometimes it's not that case. But in many cases, a wife, in order for her to open up to sex and to sexuality with her husband, she needs first to have her emotions awakened, a closeness, a relationship. The emotional connection needs to be there for hours before, days before, to feel safe and to feel relaxed. And then she could get into that mode to enjoy the sexual experience. While a husband, very often, it's the opposite. He often needs the sex, the physical, to awaken the emotion. So it's not that he is one-track minded, but rather it's because he needs that physical to awaken the emotion, and then the emotion is felt very deeply. So they're both working in opposite ends. So who starts? Who begins? And that's a matter of working together. A husband on his end, of course, needs to do his very best to work on the emotional aspect of connectivity with his wife before the sexual experience. Sometimes if that doesn't happen for whatever reason, and you know, it could be that way sometimes, the husband is generally, let's say, under stress or tired and didn't have a chance to open up emotionally, but you see he's interested sexually, and you make that decision to be with him, very often that sexual experience awakens his heart during and after to express those emotions. This is very, very true. that often that actual act of sexual activity that he does and that he is doing with his wife awakens his heart and opens up the emotion, and it's very strongly felt during and while experiencing this. But again, that's the way it is stereotypically. It could be reverse. Sometimes you have where the women are very much more into the sexual, physical aspects, and the husbands are not. But in many cases, in most cases, or stereotypically, men spell intimacy S-E-X, and women spell it T-A-O-L-K, to talk or to communicate, and so on and so forth. Because generally they are wired differently. God generally created males with a very strong sex drive. It's just the way it is. They are very, very visual that way. That's why they have such a strong isser of shmiras einayim, to be very careful watching their eyes. They have a strict, very strict isser of zera levatola and all these things because of the fact that they're so visual. They also have this ability to compartmentalize their lives, to live in boxes. They have a work box, a shul box, a friend box, sometimes a sports box, and then a sex box, right? Could be opened at any moment. And men sometimes forget they're in that box. They forget the other boxes, and they have to learn how to connect them. That when that opens up, that they have to open up the other boxes next to it, one of them being the physical is fine. You want to connect physically with your wife, but you need to connect emotionally with your wife. Women, on the other hand, tie all these together. When one box opens, they're all open. That's why vulnerable communication is so important generally for a woman. When she has that, then it's easier for her to relax into physical intimacy. Another thing to understand with men is that they connect their masculinity and their identity with their sexuality. It could be that a lot of it is unhealthy ego, but some of it is healthy self-identity as well. The wife has a right at any given time to say no when she's not feeling well, when she feels emotionally disconnected for whatever reason. That is very, very true. But if it happens too often and it's becoming a point where it is disrupting the normal intimate life, then the withholding of the sex creates in the husband a tremendous amount of real tsar. And don't think that it's just a tsar of, oh, I'm not being sexually fulfilled, I'm being sexually frustrated because my needs are not being met. That is a very big misconception. It may look like that externally, but if your husband is an overall mensch, the withholding of sex is a deep, deep hurt and feeling of rejection, which of course he's not going to acknowledge or admit. And that is a tremendous tsar, a tremendous tsar. The rejection of it is a greater tsar than the withholding of it. Because if it's done the right way, if the no is said the right way, like Mrs. Davis said very beautifully, that's one of the most fundamental shiurim that's worth listening to, of how you say no and how you reschedule things when you're not up to it. The way you do it, most husbands will be able to handle that very well. They may be uncomfortable because they had a desire for it and now they have to hold back and it's not easy for them, but the frustration and the hurt will not be there. It'll be just like sort of annoyance or something difficult for him that he'll get over, and hopefully an hour or two passes by and he'll be fine. Even though he feels a little disappointed, but that's part of life. That's something he needs to learn. That's part of his own growth. That's okay. That's perfectly okay. But when it comes to a point where it's prolonged rejection or done with a certain vindictiveness or a certain anger, then it becomes a real, real tsar. It's a leisainu ishus amisai now. It's creating a tremendous amount of pain. It creates a tremendous discouragement when his wife doesn't express that interest towards him and rejects him that way. So it's very important to be sensitive to that. When you need to say no, for whatever reason it may be, which you have every right to, at any given time when you feel that's the right thing to do. But it has to be done with a sensitivity and with also the awareness that this needs to be rescheduled and at that point be fully there for him. Because he will feel that he's not important. He will feel that a certain grief and a loss actually with it. You know, it's things that the male will not admit to. The husband will very much try to bury beneath the surface and he'll try to swallow. But when he does that, it's a short-term victory. He's leaving me alone, Baruch Hashem, you know, quote unquote. But it creates a difference because it creates a certain shutdown and a break in the relationship, which later is deeply, deeply regretted. They actually feel rejected as a person. They need to learn not to do that. They need to learn not to take it personally. But if it's done too often, then they will feel that rejection. They will shut down. And, we're not talking about scenarios of, like we tell the husbands all the time, if there's problems in the sexual aspects of things, you go and get help. You don't act out. So we're not talking about acting out. That's not a discussion. That's not something to be discussed, because this is something that is just simply, by a Jew, not an option. They get the help they need to work through it. But what happens is the shutdown and pulling away does happen. They shut down emotionally. They withdraw. They isolate themselves. They'll be afraid, for example, they won't go to the bed in the same time that you do, because they're fearful of another round of rejection. They'll stop being romantic. Won't attempt to buy flowers or write notes or say very warm things, because again, they'll get rejected. That's their fear. They may work longer hours, so they won't have to think about the emotional distance between them and you. Or they may even learn extra hours, which is generally a good thing, but over here it's not so great if it's an avoidance tactic. Or absorb themselves in recreation or activities with the kids or other things just to numb the pain of that expectation that's not being fulfilled. And things go downwards from there. So, again, it's really a two-way street, because again, we tell the husbands they have to connect emotionally. They have to be there for their wives with all the other aspects of the love languages and all the other needs described for the sexual intimate need to be realized and actualized. But sexual intimacy is very real and vital need for a husband. And that is usually when that's done and a wife responds sexually, he usually does reciprocate with her needs, deep needs for affection and tenderness and so on and so forth. You could express to your husbands that when they're more emotionally warm towards you, that you will respond in kind back towards them. They may explain to you that sometimes they need the actual sexual experience in order for them to open up. And again, this is something that I don't do surveys about, but it seems pretty clear from the research that I did that women do acknowledge that this often takes place, where they are sort of tired or distant or were not really emotionally fully there initially, but when they're engaged sexually and the wives do that and they start out that way and everything, there they open up. The point that often that they would even cry and express real deep emotion, but they needed that to allow it to come out. The idea being that, of course, every time we give such a share as this, to explain that marriage applies of all different aspects of the marriage. This is one very key part of it, but the other parts cannot be neglected. But the nature needs to be understood. There's some men that would, if it be up to them, they would want sex every on a daily basis. The others, it would be, I don't need it. Once a month is fine with me. For other men, it's somewhere in between. Most men, it's somewhere in between. You need to know your husband. You need to know his nature. And you need to know your nature and work together accordingly to get to that middle ground as best as possible. And to understand each other's needs. Sometimes it will be important to put aside your needs. Sometimes it could be the other way around. Your husband is struggling in some area in his life. And sometimes he needs to be left alone. And you want to be with him. And it's hard to leave him alone. That's when you desire it. Sometimes it's the other way around. He needs to be with you and you're really not up to it to the utmost degree. It's a shikol hadas. Just like every aspect of life requires self-sacrifice and giving, taking out the garbage when you're not in the mood, going to work when you're not in the mood, doing difficult things when you're not in the mood. Sometimes it is the idea of not being in the best mood for the sexual experience. But if you're not ill, you're not overly, extremely exhausted or anything like that, then a little bit effort is worth it. That applies both to the women who would want to do this and then they'll find it rewarding subsequently, or a husband's doing it for you when they're not in the mood and they push themselves to do it. It goes both ways. You see from all of this, by the way, as we're talking here, that a lot of this has to do with midas taivas, with working on one's midas. If someone has good character traits and good midas, they will be menschlich with each other and caring with each other pertaining to the sexual part of their relationship. And of course, they could talk to Hashem about this issue. This is one of the biggest mistakes people make. They say, what am I going to talk to God about sex? Who else are you going to talk to God about? Who else are you going to talk about sex about? It's something that's part of a person's nature. If they're healthy, it's part of their lives. If a husband or wife, either one is healthy, physically healthy and emotionally healthy, they will desire this. If the relationship is healthy, they will desire this. So if there's any challenge or direction that you need in this direction, of course you do your hishtadlus and you could talk to other people. But why not talk to Hashem about it? Hashem, I need direction. I need hadracha. I need siyata d'shmaya to help me handle all parts of the relationship with my wife or with my husband, including the physical intimate part. Help it be easier for us. Help our communication be better. Help us enjoy each other. Help us learn to enjoy each other. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the right thing to do. You turn to Hashem for everything else. You want your sex life to be better, frankly. You ask Hashem for it. Please improve our sex life. L'shem Shemayim. We should be happy with each other. Our bond should be stronger. It'll strengthen our Torah. It'll strengthen our mitzvahs. It'll strengthen our Maisim Tovim. It'll strengthen our Simchas Achayim. That is the address. That is the first address who you talk to. It's not only not wrong, it's right. It's the appropriate thing to do. He created sexuality. Who else are you going to turn to? He is the first stop. He is the only stop. And then, of course, there's his sense of shluchim. You do your shtadlis. You do your inner work. Of course, Hashem wants you to do your part. But you turn to Hashem and you ask Hashem for help in this area in life. Bracha v'atzlacha.